This is Dr. Jonathan Shaw. I want to thank you for tuning in to Crown Ministries Podcast today. We hope that this message transforms you and encourages you to pursue God's presence in a greater way. Enjoy the message.
I'm excited today, Crown Ministries. I'm excited. You know why? I'm in the sanctuary. I'm back. I'm in the sanctuary right here on Glenwood Road at Crown Ministries, the Royal Worship Center. I can feel the Lord's presence right here in the sanctuary. My God, he's here, y'all. He's all up in here, and I'm excited about being back and being here and even sending this message to you straight from our house, Crown Ministries, the Royal Worship Center. We're glad and we're excited to be a part. Listen. So much is getting ready to happen. So much is going on. So much is happening in our world, but so much is happening right here at Crown Ministries. I want to share some of that stuff with you in just a moment. But again, I thank and appreciate you that you've joined us today. I believe that you're ready for the Word of God. I'm excited to deliver it. I want to share with you what God told me to share with you. So come on, let's jump right into the Word of God. There's something exciting that I need to share with you on today. We're going to be paper Bible safe. So get your paper Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel according to Mark. Chapter number 8. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter number 8. We'll begin our lesson at verse number 11. Mark chapter 8, verse number 11, and we're going to see the golden nuggets that God has to share with us from the Word of God. Mark 8, 11, and here begins the reading of God's Word. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them, and entering into the ship, again departed to the other side. Verse 12 is going to be a text of emphasis. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and saith, why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And the word of the Lord is blessed. From this text, from the intensity of this text, there is a contrast here that I would like to bring to your attention. There's an observation that I've made of Jesus here in the text that I believe that it's worth looking at, taking notice of. He said there's not going to be given any sign to this generation. So this morning I would like to talk to you from the subject simply the sign. The sign. The sign. Let's talk about this. It's going to be real good. Would you join me in prayer? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, praise you, honor you, glorify you. We lift you. We magnify you. Oh, great big God that you are. Thank you for inviting us in your day. Thank you, Lord, for this worship moment and opportunity. Now, God, we press our ear to your mouth and we say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. We pray now, God, that you would point us in the right direction, show us which way to go, and reveal to us that we're on the right pathway. Give us the sign. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Let every heart say amen. The sign. The sign. I believe that in this time during coronavirus, during the pandemic, that this time, if it has not done anything else to us, it has revealed to us what we're really made of. I believe that it is revealing the strength of this generation, the strength, the tenacity, the situativeness, the levels of endurance that this generation has or the lack thereof. I believe that we have seen the separation between the mice and the men, those who are playing games and those that are really about it. I believe that this is the time that we see who's really willing to put their money where their mouth is or put their hands to the fire, roll their sleeves up and get their hands dirty. I think we now see who's really got it versus who really just said they had it. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, there are some differences that's being made here. There's some analysis and some assessments that we need to make to see who's got the goods, who's built to last, who's got the stuff to weather the storm, who's made with the things that it takes to take a licking and keep on ticking. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you today, we're being tested. We're being tried. We're having to endure this hardness, and I pray and hope that you're doing it as a good soldier. Even in the body of Christ, in the church world, I believe that God is showing up something. The doors of the church are closed, and many of them have started opening. Some more are opening in just a couple of weeks. But I'm here to tell you and reveal to you, I think God was trying to show us something. He was trying to reveal something to us. Even as we come to worship virtually and online, even as we come to be a part of worship by logging on to a social media platform or going onto YouTube or some other virtual site, a conference call even, I believe that God was trying us to see, are you going to do it for fame or popularity? Are you going to do it because you're called to it? Oh God, the church, in my opinion, in my own personal observation, has been an institution that has dilated the precepts of God. The tenets of our faith have been compromised and overwhelmed by the burden of this world. In my opinion and personal observation, I have seen where we have walked away from the tenets of our faith. We've walked away from the fundamentals of Christianity, the basic rules and theology that we are to follow. I'm talking about sanctification and holiness and salvation and the Holy Spirit and the doctrine of the Word of God. And I'm talking about real biblical stuff. We walked away from it, and if I could say this, we have adapted entertainment as opposed to an encounter. I'm not talking about every church. Certainly, it's not every church. No, I dare not throw a general blanket statement on all churches. No. I'm talking about a general observation to what church has become today. I'm not intending to indict the church, but rather to point her into the direction that she's supposed to be going in as a prophet, as a priest in the house of the Lord. My job and my assignment is to point the sheep in the way and the direction that it's supposed to go. We have, oh God, ventured over to the side of entertainment instead of the encounter. We have done what most artists want to do now. We've crossed over. Lord, help us. Can't you hear the music? Can't you hear the kind of songs that's being sung? Can't you see the kind of opulence that churches now have? Well, at least that's what they call them, churches. Do you see the now decoration? Do you see the taking down of crosses and signs and symbols of our Christianity and our faith being replaced with crossing over signs and symbols, more corporate looks and more worldly appearances? Our branding has changed. Our image has changed because we have decided to adopt the world system of entertainment as opposed to presenting people Jesus so that they may have an encounter. I know this may be an ouch to some and this may hurt to others, but brothers and sisters, I got to be truthful in the message and I've got to display to you the reality of where we are. And I believe that God locked us all in the house, and I believe that he kicked us all out of his church so that we could return back to the fundamentals of our faith, to the tenets of what we believe, so that we could return back to biblical sound doctrine and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I believe that because we wasn't doing what God wanted us to do, he kicked us out of his house. He put us out. He evicted us until we got ourselves together. Until we understand this is not the place for entertainment, but it's the place to encounter God. I believe there's about 25, 50 folks that's online today who says, Dr. Shaw, I want an encounter with God. Is there anybody like me that want an encounter with God? I'm not talking about your outfit. I'm not talking about whether you wear a suit, tie, or whether you wear a t-shirt and jeans. I'm not talking about whether you wear a chaplet or a hat. I'm not talking about your fashion. No. I'm not even talking about your praise team or your choir. I'm not even referring to your preacher. I'm talking about ultimately when we enter into the house of God, do we encounter God? Or have we encountered another celebrity, another personality? Have we encountered, come on here, the next who's who's and the best best? Are we encountering Sunday's best? Or are we encountering Jesus on that Good Friday? Are we encountering, oh God, your best preaching message on a Sunday? Or are we encountering a life that's submitted and surrendered to God? Who do we get when we get you? Do we get entertainment or do we get encounters? You now got preachers that are after the wow factor. So they say anything off top of their heads and say anything that comes out of their mouth just so they could be the next wow factor. And so they could be quoted and so they could be followed. You got singers that could riff and sing on every key behind the organ or the keyboard, but there's no oil. Oh God, there is no destroying of yokes when they get the mic in their hand. We've got dancers waving flag, doing liturgical dance. We've got all kinds of musicians playing all kinds of instruments. We've got lights, we've got camera, we've got action, but is there an encounter? Because I don't know about you, when I'm going through hell, I don't have time for entertainment. I need an encounter. I don't need a church that's the latest reality TV show. I need an encounter with God. I don't have time to flick through the channels of your worship service to see what part of it I like. I need an encounter with God. Devils are running rampant in my life. Come on, demons are raging through my children. I need an encounter with God. If I don't have an encounter with God, I might flip, plop, and pop. If I don't have an encounter with God, I might jack up my life. If I don't have an encounter with God, something is going to go plumb crazy. I need an encounter with God. With an encounter with God, I can live. With an encounter with God, I have hope. With an encounter with God, come on here, there is breakthrough. There is deliverance. There is a remedy with an encounter that don't happen with entertainment. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. And we have deduced, oh, God, our preachers to performers. We have reduced our psalmists to celebrities. We've turned ministry into industry because it's more about who got the most likes, the most loves, who get the most followers, whose church is bigger, what kind of lights you got, what kind of people you got going on. It's now about entertainment instead of encounter. But when you're really dealing with demons, when you're really battling a situation and you've got a prayer request on the altar, you ain't got time for entertainment. You ain't got time to have your fancy tickled. You ain't got time to have your ear scratched. You need an encounter. Anybody in here need an encounter? I need an encounter, an encounter, an encounter. Don't stroke my ego. Don't play with my flesh. I need an encounter with God. Don't give me false hopes and empty promises. I need a word from the Lord that's going to shake me up, that's going to point me in the right direction. I need an encounter with the Lord. And for those who are looking for an encounter, watch this. It is almost frustrating. Woo! I wish I could talk like I'm talking the way I'm talking. It's almost aggravating to come into a church expecting an encounter and get an entertainer. My Savior. It's almost junkyard dog mad. Oh God, to see, oh God, craziness going on when you want to enter into His presence and be fulfilled and satisfied by the joy of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, that feeling is understandable. It is called, some people, if I peradventure to say, to no longer come to church. They don't even want to be a part of it. They don't want to be a part of it. They don't want to be a part of it because they didn't come for this. They didn't come for the mess. They didn't come for the junk. They didn't come for the church to be a soap opera. You know what I discovered? You know what I discovered? That some people are so messy. They're so messy in church that if they go to a church where there's no mess going on, they feel like they don't fit in. There's some people that's so messy that when there's a worship experience, an encounter, well, ain't nobody talking about nobody. Ain't nobody sleeping with nobody. Come on. Ain't nothing going down. Ain't nothing for me to gossip about. Ain't nothing for me to tweet about. Ain't nothing for me to put subs on social media about. They almost don't know how to function, because there are some people that's so messy. They only know how to function in mess. It's like a pig in slop. I don't care how you clean it. They're going to run back to the mud and wallow and roll back in it. You got to understand that you have got to have an appetite that is greater than just a performance. That's greater than just lights, camera, and action. That's greater than entertainment. The hell you're going through in your life cannot be fixed through gossip. It can't be repaired through entertainment. It cannot be fixed with somebody just performing just to get your money, but have no intentions of getting your life changed. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, I want to encounter God with people who are submitted to him and surrendered to him. No, I dare not suggest that we're all perfect. By no means are we all perfect. No, God, we got issues and isms and schisms. We got hang-ups and mess-ups. Trust me, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But watch this, even with our junk and even with our mess, we don't come in proudly and act like God's supposed to bless us and like God's supposed to anoint us, like God's supposed to provide for us. No. What we do is we still bless him. We still praise him, but we come surrendered. We come broken. We come to say, God, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, where shall I go? No. When you're jacked up, you don't come in here just to sing your song, preach your sermon, and walk out the door. No. When you're jacked up, you come in here like David said, create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit within me. When your life is busted, broke, and disgusted, you don't come proud. You come bowed. Who am I talking to today? Lord, I don't come proud, I come bowed. I don't come sticking my chest out boldly, I come bowed, submitted, surrendered. Don't come proud, come bowed. That's when you want an encounter. Oh, an encounter with God. It must be the sanctuary. I feel like preaching today. Brothers and sisters, that is the intensity that we've got in the text. That's what's going on in the text in Mark chapter number 8. That's what's happening in this very text. There's an intensity. There is a anger. There is a disappointment of Jesus of the expectation of people. So early in the text, Mark chapter 8, can we go there? Watch this, the gospel according to Mark chapter number 8. Early in the text, in that chapter, what you see here is Jesus got all these people, a multiple of people that's out in the wilderness. And he's been teaching, and he's been leading them through, and he's been pouring into them and imparting into them. The scripture would give us to know that there's approximately 4,000 people, and they didn't have anything to eat. And Jesus says, well, find something for the people to eat. They got to eat. Find something for them to eat. We got to get. They said, Jesus, where can we find bread? We're in the wilderness. Ain't no stores out here, Jesus. Ain't no corner stores. Ain't no bodegas. Come on here. Ain't no Popeyes. Ain't no Chick-fil-A's. Ain't no KFC's. What can we do? What can we do, Lord? He says, find something. How many loaves do y'all have? Y'all collect together. How many loaves you have? And they said, we got 7 loaves. He took the 7 loaves and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and they set it before the people and they ate. And the Bible says they also had a few small fish, and he blessed them and commanded them to sit down and they ate that as well. Watch this. 4,000 people ate from 7 loaves of bread and just a few little fish. And the Bible says they even had 7 baskets left over after everybody ate. After everybody ate, 7 baskets were still left over. That can't. Watch this. 4,000 people are hungry. Jesus said, just give me some bread and some fish. He gave thanks, blessed it, broke it, and gave it out and distributed. My God. Now, y'all know how you act when you got leftovers from the restaurant and you put it in the refrigerator and somebody eat your leftovers. Y'all know how you act. You know, you'll cut somebody for that. You'll take somebody out for that. But Jesus managed to stretch a meal. Come on. I wish I could talk to some cooks in the room. Come on. Talk about stretching a meal. Stretching a meal. It wasn't stretch because he was a great cook and chef. It was stretch because he blessed it and broke it. Woo. I don't know who this is for, but I want you to catch this word by the Holy Ghost. The meal was stretched because he blessed it and broke it. And I'm here to tell you the reason why you can stretch is because you've been blessed and broken. The reason why you can stretch into new realms and territory. The reason why you can stretch into your future. The reason why you can last. The reason why you're still here is because you've been blessed and broken. Anything that he blesses and breaks, he stretches. Anything he blesses and breaks, it can last. Anything he blesses and breaks, my God can fill more people than a little bit. I'm here to tell you, if you submit and surrender for him to bless you and break you, you can last through the storm. You can survive when all other folks are giving up. If you let him bless you, if you let him break you, I'm telling you, he can distribute you and you can last to the multitude. You can last. You can stretch. You can go further than your limits. You can go further than your capacity, because he blessed you and he broke you. And when he did that, that was a miracle. My God, that was a miracle. 4,000 people, 7 loaves of bread, just a couple of fish. That's a miracle. It's 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 a miracle you survived this far. Woo. God, I feel like preaching. It's a miracle that you survive to get here where you are today. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. I need you to turn to your neighbor in the comments and say, neighbor, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's a miracle, my God, that based upon my salary, I managed to pay my cell bill, pay my rent. Come on here. Got food on the cabinets, still putting money on my Metro card. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's a miracle that I've been without a job in the last couple of months, but somehow or another, I never missed a meal. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. The doctors diagnosed you, and they said you got it, but you're still here, and you're surviving with it. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's a miracle when he bless you and break you, and you're still here. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. And the Bible says that that was a miracle. And then he left the 4,000. Look at the Pharisees. You know who the Pharisees are. The religious community. Look at them. Look at the Pharisees. They're watching. They've watched the miracle. They've watched Jesus bless and break. They've watched an encounter. Oh, God. And after they saw this encounter, they came, the Bible says, verse number 11, Mark 8, and they began to question Jesus. And the scripture says that they were seeking a sign from heaven. Now, I need you to understand. I need you to understand the Pharisees. Y'all know who they are. That's the religious community. That's the religious, self-righteous folks. That's the folks who says, no, we got to stick to the bylaws. We got to stick to what the paper says, the rule book. We got to stick to it, and we can't stray away from it. And they said, Jesus, if you're so bad, if you're so big, if you're so powerful, show us a sign. Watch this, from heaven. In other words, they were suggesting that Jesus' miracles that he done were earthly miracles. They wanted to see a miracle from heaven, like what Elijah did. I'm talking about when he called down fire. They wanted to see something happen in the sky, something happen with the weather. They wanted to see a heavenly miracle. They wanted to see a sign from heaven, a sign that is beyond the earth realm. They wanted something, watch this, that would entertain them. Oh, my God. They wanted something, oh God, that they would classify as a performance worth validating and complimenting. Because what they just saw him do with the 7 loaves of bread and 2 fish, to them, in their opinion, wasn't valuable enough. I wish I could preach this the way I feel like preaching it. What some people saw, oh God, they don't think is worth calling a miracle. They don't think it's miracle worthy. Oh, that's low stuff. Anybody can do that. No. They don't understand. They don't understand the value of the miracle. So they wanted something that they considered greater and bigger. And that's just how religious folks would do. That's just how self-righteous folks will do. They would look at the miracle that God gave you, and all it is was a fish sandwich. All it was a plate of food. And they don't think that that's very miraculous. But they don't understand how hungry you are. And folks never allow people to put a value on your miracle when they don't know the strength of your trial. They never allow a person to classify whether that's a miracle or not when they don't go through what you're going through the way you're going through. You don't think that the fish and the bread is a miracle, but you don't know how my stomach was growling. You don't know how hungry I was. You don't know that I was almost faint and I almost quit and I almost fell out. It's a miracle. It's a miracle to get up in the morning. It's a miracle to plant my feet on the side of my bed. It's a miracle to inhale and exhale. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. It may not be one for you because you're not in what I'm in. It may not be one for you that you don't go through what I'm going through, but I, God, feel a miracle. There's 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 a miracle. God, I feel excited. There's a miracle waiting for somebody. Never classify miracles as great and large and big and small and heavenly and earthly. No. If God did it, if it wasn't supposed to be done, if it wasn't supposed to happen that way, my God, the fact that it happened in your life, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. They did not deem the fish and the bread miraculous. So they wanted a sign from heaven. But they asked this, tempting him. If you're really big and bad, if you're really big and bad, if you're really God, if you're really the Son of God, they were tempting him. They were trying him. They were testing him. They were trying to come at him. Brothers and sisters, they were looking for entertainment. Perform for us. And that's just how some of these self-righteous church folks go. My God, they go to church with a self-righteous attitude. Come on here. This elitism that have entered into the house of God, that only they and they only can deem something powerful. I can't stand them pew judges who sit there and judge preaching and singing. Come on, they think that they are one of the judges on some reality show. Come on, this ain't no American Next Top Model. This ain't no American Idol. Come on, this ain't no Sunday's Best. You sitting there judging the message, judging the singer, judging this, and got your arms folded, and you alone can deem whether that's powerful, and you alone can deem whether that's miraculous, and you alone can, come on, determine whether that was a word or a revelation or not. But somebody sitting in the back said, I didn't come to be entertained. You don't have to use big words to impress me. You don't have to pull a rabbit out of the hat for me to come back to church. Come on. You don't have to have nothing up your sleeve for me to lift up my hands and open up my mouth. Hey, God, we turn our preachers into entertainers and magicians because we got a bunch of pew judges sitting there trying to determine whether the word is powerful or not. But I come to tell you, yes, you bald head devil, you're a liar, and you will not cramp the style and the miracle of Jesus. He's coming for somebody that's looking for an encounter. And you may miss your encounter. You may miss your encounter trying to judge whether this is powerful or not. You trying to judge whether this, the presence of God, I don't feel God. Maybe if you lift up your hands, you'll feel him. Maybe if you open up your mouth, you'll feel him. Maybe you'll sense God. If you stop being judge and jury and start being a worshiper. You ever try it? Be a worshiper. And I'm telling you, you'll encounter him. They alone deemed themselves, oh God, judge and jury to determine whether something was a miracle or a sign or not. Watch this. And the Bible says, this is the part of scripture I want you to hear. I want you to hear in verse 12. And Jesus sighed deeply. And he did it in his spirit. I look through commentaries and I look through different expositories and I look through dictionaries and I tried to understand really what that sigh was. You know, he sighed, the Bible says, deeply in his spirit. Now, if Jesus sighs, you know you getting on his nerves. In such disappointment. Ooh, he sighed because he's saying to himself, I just did a miracle, but you want to see a sign. Because you really don't believe you want to be impressed. You really don't believe you want to be entertained. He sighed in disappointment. He sighed, if I could say this, help me, in anger. Because they were tempting him, but what they didn't realize is that before he ever started his ministry, God, you're about to make me preach up in here. Before he was ever launched into full-time ministry, he spent 40 days and nights in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So they came to tempt him, but they don't know he already overcame temptation. And I'm here to tell somebody, the devil can't get you with that which you have already overcome. The devil can't have you. He's trying to come back the same way he already came, but he don't realize, I already came that. I already overcome that. I've overcome that, and I'm not going back to it. I will not be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. I've already defeated that devil. So you can come with temptation if you want to, but I already got the victory. I've already won the battle. I've already came through it victoriously. And he sighed deeply in his spirit. And he asked the question, why does this generation seek after a sign? I'm almost through. But then this is what he says that twisted and turned my head upside down. He says, verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. He was talking to the Pharisees. He was talking to those who doubted him. He was talking to those who did not believe him. And he said, there shall be no sign given to this generation. Why does this generation look after signs? And I believe that the same question is applicable to the generation we're in now. Why do you look after entertainment instead of an encounter? Why do you look after being impressed instead of invoking the presence of the Lord? Lord Jesus, why do you want people to merely perform for you? As instead of having a powerful encounter with the presence of God, why do you seek a sign when you have no intentions of believing? You have no intentions of changing your life. You sit there with your arms folded, your mouth stuck out, and you sit there waiting for some entertainment sideshow. My God, and you don't put forth any efforts because you're waiting for a sign, something that you approve to be worthy to be called a miracle or powerful. But Jesus said, there shall be no sign given. And the reason why I scratched my head right there is because the Bible says in Mark 16, just 8 chapters later, it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. So I said, Jesus, you're going to have to explain this one to me. He said, to this generation, there shall be no sign given. But then later, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. He said, first, you got to understand what a sign is. And I looked up what a sign was, and a sign is an indicator to point one in the right direction or to notify one what is up ahead. A sign is supposed to give you direction and guidance. A sign is supposed to show you what's up the road and what's up ahead. A sign is a label, an indicator to identify to you of the contents that's inside or beyond the door. That's what a sign is. And he told them that there will not be any signs to this generation. And I asked them why. He said, because they didn't need a sign. Because they have me. Yes, Lord. They didn't need any special miraculous presentation. Because you got him right there with you. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And because he's there, you don't need a sign. Because he's there, you don't need a word. Because he is the word made flesh. Because he's there, you don't need bread. Because he's bread when you get hungry. Because he's there, you don't need water. Because he's water when you get thirsty. Because he's there, my God, you don't need a friend. Because he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Because he's there, you don't need mother and father. Because he's a mother to the motherless and a father to the fatherless. When he's there, you don't need protection. God, I feel good here. Because he is your battle axe in the time of battle. Because he's there, my God, he is your strong tower where the righteous run in and they are saved. And when you got him, you don't need a sign. When you got him, you don't need a presentation. When you got him, you don't need performance. Just like when Solomon built the temple, the Bible said that the Holy Ghost was there so powerful that the priest could not even stand to minister. When he shows up, you just bow in his presence. When he shows up, you put the microphone down and you say, God, have your way. Any way you want to bless me, I'll be satisfied. But that messed me up, y'all, because the definition of a sign is an indicator. It points you to something. Well, you don't need a sign when Jesus is there, because you don't need pointing. He's there. But he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Brothers and sisters, signs point you to something. But in Mark 16, he said, these signs shall follow. Wait a minute. Signs are supposed to lead. Signs ain't supposed to follow. Signs are supposed to lead. But Jesus said, when you tap into my power, when you have an encounter with me, hey God, signs will not lead you, but signs will follow you. And if a sign is following you, it must mean you are the sign. My God. And I'm here to tell somebody the reason why other signs follow you. What kind of signs, Dr. Shaw? In my name, they shall cast out devils. They're speaking new tongues. They shall tread upon serpent and scorpion. And they shall touch or eat any deadly thing, and it will not harm them. That's the sign that's going to follow the believer. But a sign's supposed to point to something. It does. The signs point to the sign. I'm the sign. You're the sign. I'm not talking about your astrological sign. I don't care whether you're an Aquarius. I don't care whether you're a Cancer, Capricorn, Taurus, or Gemini. I'm talking about the sign that I've been blood washed. The sign that I've been picked up, turned around, my feet been placed on solid ground. I'm talking about the sign that living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, but rising he justified and freed me forever. I'm talking about that sign, the sign that says I looked at my hands and my hands look new. I looked at my feet and they did too. Lay hands on yourself and say, I'm the sign. I am the sign. You ain't got to look no further. You don't have to wonder where he is. I'm the sign, because greater is he who lives in me than he that's in the world. Somebody shout, I am the sign. How are you the sign? Because the fact that I was saved from a devil's hell, I am the sign. I once was blind, but now I see. I am the sign. So if this generation is looking for a sign, here am I. If this generation is looking for Jesus, here he is. I'm not God at all, but he lives in me. He reigns in me. He rules in me. I am the sign that he's alive and well. I'm the sign that he sits high and looks low. I am the sign, because my life been changed. My heart's been transformed. I am the sign. I'm not a sign. I am the sign. He's still alive. He's still well. Let me hear the holler. Let me hear the praise of the sign. For these signs shall follow them that believe. If you're a believer, you are the sign. You're the sign. You are the sign. You are the indicator that God is real. Hey, atheists, you want to prove the existence of God? Here I am. I once was blind, but now I see. Come on, come on, come on, agnostic. Come on, come on, come on. Those of you who got big questions to prove the validity of God, I am the sign. He changed me. He made me whole. He healed my body. He saved me. He delivered me. Never eliminate your testimony, because we are overcomers. By the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony, we are the sign. Jesus said, there's no sign going to be given to this generation, because the sign is here. This generation of church, you're looking for lights, camera, action. You're looking for the dead being raised. You're looking for blinded eyes open. You're looking for deaf ears to be unstopped. You're looking for the lame to walk. Listen, he could do all that. He's proven he could do that stuff. That's possible. That's doable. But let's stop seeking the signs, because we classify those as more powerful miracles. We, being judge and jury, deem those to be a part of a powerful ministry. And we say, if your ministry don't do those things, you have no power. No, 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 no. These signs shall follow them that believe. You are the sign. You don't need to raise the dead when you used to be spiritually dead, but now you're spiritually alive. That's resurrection. You're the sign. You don't need a sign of blinded eyes open when you once was blind, but now you see. You are the sign. Now, I'm not saying or diminishing the fact that God cannot do these things. He still can, and he still does. And when it happens, to God be the glory for the great things that he has done. But let's not be the generation that look for entertainment and signs when he said, I've already given you one by saving your soul. Your salvation is a miracle. Come on. The fact that I'm saved is a miracle. It's a miracle of love and his saving grace. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, tell yourself right now, I am the sign.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. If you did, I would love for you to do two things. One, subscribe to our show so you can receive notification of our most recent messages. Also, if this message has impacted you, you can click the link in the description and you can give now. We'll connect with you next time on Crown Ministries Podcast.